Escalante.
I'm going to ask. Guy, I don't mean to get real prying, but it's getting close. I wonder, how much does this thing cost? That's an amazing fan.
It is an amazing fan.
Is it a lot of dollars or a few dollars?
It costs about $60.
Ooh.
Toshiba.
Well, I reckon you have to pay for what you get.
It's worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. See, it all comes apart and you wash it. Now it's got that low speed there.
There's a lot of air with that low speed.
Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Well, what do you know? Well, that is something.
I brought the other one. I thought Faye might want to read it because she didn't read it before.
What you got written up there?
It's two letters from my cousin.
From my cousin.
Guys,
she wrote it on airmail paper, and it's so light it's probably hard to make copies of.
Now that's economical use of paper there.
I kept thinking the trouble with the Xerox machine.
No, it's been paper.
Yeah, but I had a hard time to find that out, and they wouldn't tell me.
This should probably be all right. This is the
chair. Yeah.
Her sister designed that for her.
And you just got to have a good, heavy, good ribbon on it. Actually, if you've got a good ribbon,
you get a good Xerox.
It'll, it might not be clean, but it'll be
dark.
Yeah.
Now that
they tell me that that you Xerox the Xerox and you'll get it darker.
Than the first?
Yeah, if you Xerox the Xerox.
I think on that lightweight paper, I imagine that if it's typed on both sides, if you put a backing on it before you copy
not.
It. It doesn't
that's
work?
Not typed on both sides.
Okay. Because that the light goes
the
through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
you put a plain white paper behind it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. It just occurred to me it might help it out.
And they don't tell you. I want to get a little book, Vito Lindsay. That little, he goes to the wheat harvest one. Yeah. I want to get that and copy it three more times, you know, two or three people might want to read it. And it's out print. And I hate to leave it there because they'll copy it sometimes and the machines are not working very well. And I don't get luck like that. Jack Sanders, where'd we leave him? He was that I didn't know anybody had the energy to over at Meganoka to barbecue pig.
He did it.
They have all kinds of barbecues these days out there now.
They're really, really good, fine, sociable gatherings that I have never, ever experienced before. It has nothing of the ring of one of these blasted cocktail parties or one of the standard kids' parties that would be going on where everybody gets completely doped up or something.
Yeah.
And just nothing happens, no talk, anything like that. This party has a nice cross-section of people involved in it. And
I'm looking
it's
right
just
at that damn sun.
It's just thoroughly enjoyable. I just stand around there and eat.
Right out there in front of your house?
Well,
over there
we started over there where the Big Ten Shed is.
Where the trip, yeah. Yeah.
the first one we had was Jack instigated it was more Phil was instigating it. We were going to do a fish cookout. That was really a funny thing that happened then. Turned out to be a good fish cookout, but Phil didn't get quite enough fish and we invited too many people. And we had the table set up in the middle of the street, at 2nd Street over, and cleaning the fish out there that they caught. See, Phil went out with a cast net and caught the mullet. And I was out there cleaning them with, I think it was Charlie at that time. We had Charlie in the middle of the street. And there's two or three of us that were milling around doing things. And these two men walked up and started talking, asking us about automotive things. Because Phil runs that garage there, and he's a Porsche mechanic. But Phil wasn't there. So we told him that, and we didn't know anything about this. And I'd never seen these men before. And so they just sort of stood around a little bit, and they went over by the airboat, and they started talking about first one thing and the other, and auto racing and stuff like that. And I didn't know what was going on. And then this red car drove up, sort of close to where we were cleaning the fish, and it was like one of those circus scenes. I don't know whether you ever saw that or not, that little car that drives out on the middle of the circus, and they open the door, and about 83 people get out, and then they bring a horse too, you know. I always loved that. And that's what happened with this car. There's two women that got out of it, and then I don't know how many children. They just kept coming out. And they just started standing around. There, and they walk up there right next to where you were and just look. And just herded around. Never sort of said anything, howdy do, or what's going on. They just stayed there. And I began to get the feeling that they thought this was truly a political fish fry or something. And they were all coming in on it. And these kids would come right up to where you were. It's like some of these foreign people just get right up there, you know, because you're white or something, and touch you. And they were standing so close that I had the hose, I'd wash the fish, and when I'd go to get another fish, I'd move the hose like that, and he'd wash right across one of them. They wouldn't move. You know? I'd look like that and come back, and I'd wash, and he'd wash right across them. They wouldn't move. That's how close they were. They finally, I left after a while. I folded up shop and went back across the street because I was getting worried. They did leave. I don't know. And they find out they live there. They just moved in. Some strange people from Texas. Get your world invaded like it's like Martians or something coming in. It's really odd.
And that was right there in Meganobi at a fish fry.
And that was in front of the building. We started doing most of the cooking out back now. Got it all cleaned out back there.
Oh, yeah.
Just a pit and get a bunch of wood and put in it, start cooking.
You wouldn't be invaded so much back then.
No, not quite as much. Too public.
That's funny.
But old Jack Sanders is the heart of that picnic.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He won't let these people sit down. Now, see, he's been on workman's compensation for 2 years. And when he first started in with this thing about 6 months ago, he would complain mightily about his back, his legs. He couldn't do much. And he'd work a little bit once in a while on the side. But most of the time, he'd just take his check, get his beer, and drink all day. And now, I hadn't heard him complain about his back or his legs lately. And he's hooked up with George Farrar, one of the bearded guys down there, and they're working together, doing repair jobs on the colored housing. And he works him to death. And then he'll go over, like George Farrar brewed up some homebrew and had a bunch of people over there one night, and they first started drinking it. And evidently they weren't too experienced about what homebrew will do to you. And Jack drank right along with the rest of them. Well, the next day he wanted to go swimming. And he'd already made arrangements, and he went and picked up a couple of people to go swimming that weren't at the party. Now, he started at 7:30 or 7 o'clock doing this after this big party. Now, two or three of the other guys were still in bed at 4:30 in the afternoon. They couldn't get up. They were so deathly ill. They were so ill they couldn't even get out of bed. And Jack had already, before they got out of bed, he'd already been over to the beach, mind you. Over Crescent Beach with a couple of people and been all sunburned. Did nothing but go swimming now. That surprised me. He didn't go fishing. Generally, it's all fishing with him. This time, he just went over and played in the sand. And then he came back and got all back together again and took us out to the swimming hole. We had a big cookout at the swimming hole. He just keeps right on.
But his family doesn't bother about those occasions.
No, his wife is she's quite a machine. You look at her and you get scared right away. First look at her. I mean, her face is hard. It's got all the lines in it, and she doesn't smile. And she's generally upset about something, you know, like 80% of the time. But she, getting to know her a little bit, she can't. We sat down together out at George's house. He lives on Graham's property, out past that brick house down the dirt road, past the interstate. And she was sitting down there, and she wouldn't drink any beer, but at least she was with her husband, and was talking a little bit. And that surprised me. I didn't know what in the world she was doing there. But that was the night that they had the big party, and Jack took her back home by 9 o'clock, and I saw him leave home. I came back myself. I saw him leave about 10, driving back in his truck, and he went and partied with the rest of them. I don't know when, then he was up next morning. Yeah. Goodness gracious. He says that they don't really understand him at all. But now, he doesn't talk like Paul Harvey about being an individual or being different.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
He doesn't have that conception of himself.
Yeah.
Whereas, in fact, he is.
Now, he married into that.
I think so.
Well, his wife's girl
out there. That must be it. Because he came down here, see? But there are too many other relatives here for that not to have been.
You don't know what crowd that is. I wouldn't know them, I'm sure.
No, I'd have to back off on that. Because those relationships are so tied in.
You take old Johanna, you see, I knew his folks.
People don't talk to him.
Mm-hmm. You see, I'm trying not to lead it, but I go as far as I think he'll go, and then I shift a little bit. But transition, try to make transition, you know, light. So I won't be. See, I want you to be. I want you to do this. This is where you talk, and this is what I've found. This is where you talk. You don't ask questions, you see, and you listen. And the best green light is just listening. Most people, you see, will keep on. Wade won't go too far with me, because, you see, I used to order him around. But you see, with somebody in the countryside, you see, they'll go ahead if you just listen. You see, that's all you need. And by the countryside, I don't mean exactly the countryside. I find, you see, people who are brought up with experience are not too educated. Education does something, I don't know. But now, you see, we're back to the transition. And you're always conscious, of your method. You know, you got to be you see, you can't do this unless you're a scholar.
You bringing up that education in the countryside. Now, this Walt Edling, see, he's a member of Micanopy Countryside, you might say. I don't know what kind of education he got, whether he really got a college degree or not.
Yeah.
I assume he had some portion of it.
Yeah.
But you talk about a flathead, a man with no spirit. From what I've seen of him, he doesn't have that experience, and he doesn't get into anything that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's solid about it.
Mm.
He just won't. He won't live into any one thing.
He's cold.
He'll cut himself off. Me.
Is that right?
You can't converse with him about things. He won't allow his mind to run along with you.
No.
And there's no way you can follow his mind because it's not there. He won't get into any subject you can stay with.
Well, now that's a chance you got to take. And debate me so much, and I couldn't. He talked me down, and he talked to me about what you fellas up at the university were doing.
Yeah. You lost already, now.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
I didn't know it in the first place. And then, if I had known, it wasn't a thing I could do about it. But anyhow, he was a Sunday school teacher. I remember one day I was there teaching at Sunday school. He wasn't a regular teacher. He just sat in time to. He read his Sunday school lesson on the way over. That's the sort of scholar he was. This time he'd been reading the Reader's Digest, and he had the article that he wanted to talk to us about, and you know, he couldn't talk about it. Now, somewhere along the line, you get so you can talk about an article, you can read it, and you can tell people what you read. But you reach a certain point before you can do that. Well, Cecil hadn't done that. Hadn't got that. And he got to talking about that article, and you know, he couldn't quite make it, and so he read a little bit, and that wasn't enough, and he kept reading it, and he started sweating, and the sweat rolled over. It was just labor. He didn't know what it was, you see, what happened. Just plain old Reader's Digest, see, this simple article in there. And I thought to myself, well, now I can take Cecil out here, I can show him how to do that. Damn the scoundrel.
Buster started a joke once and he'd forgotten the ending to it.
Yeah.
He got us laughing though, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Your garbage, where about it?
The garbage.
I hadn't gone back. I should go back and talk to that man a little bit, because I've only had those one or two or three experiences.
But, one or two or three? Well, Lord have mercy.
Well, only one time at his house did we sit down in the kitchen and talk a little bit.
Don't tell me you've been in the man's kitchen.
Oh, yeah. And it's an authentic tar paper shack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like a linoleum piece here and something else going on there and a scrap here and something on the floor here. It's everything just completely at odds.
Well, now, you see, I don't want to in general... rushing of your arm. I want to know exactly how the kitchen looks, you see.
Well,
I don't mean for you to stop on it, but
I couldn't tell you right now. That
were
was
you supposed to do
3 years ago.
Oh, my. Time had nothing to do with it.
Well, hell, I'd have to make up most of it. I can't put that into vision right now as in a generalized attitude.
Yeah,
on
well,
now, I remember his shed pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, the one with all the equipment in it. I think I told you that last time. I mean, it's a good, well-built shed. It's not a chicken shed. You know, it's a good, sturdy pole structure. It's a tin on the top and on the sides. And good, solid closing doors. He has some respect for the material he has in there. Now, I think most of it had a wooden floor in it. And that's better than a junk store. Shit. I mean, you can spend hours looking at things.
That he has picked up yet?
Yes, and they're new.
That he's picked up?
Bought? Paid for?
And bought.
I'm sure that he hasn't bought anything on credit. That wouldn't be in... I don't think that would fit with a man to use credit.
But it's not stuff that he's got as a junk man.
Oh, no. No, this is a brand new chainsaw and a case. Or a lathe that cost $10,000. Something like that. Chainsaw is a couple $300, and a small mower, if I hold mower, one of the smaller tractor things, with all the attachments, the hydraulic business that goes with it, little front scoop, you know.
Does he use that stuff?
No, he doesn't use it. They don't have better use for it. You've seen those midget tractors, not the little dinky one, sort of middle size.
Yeah.
And it's got a front loader. Backhoe. It's got hydraulic systems to it. It has everything any of the big ones has.
And he has that.
He has it with all the equipment. Yeah, you know, he bought Morgerson's store. I mean, all the hardware out of it. You know, when he closed up, he went down. He didn't buy nuts and bolts. He bought the bins with nuts and bolts in them. You know, how they had those things stored and various things. He bought the whole works.
Well, I went down there one day to buy myself.
You beat you to it.
No, Mrs. Morgerson wanted to count the nuts and bolts. And I just couldn't see myself standing there and cutting all those nuts and bolts and all those bins. If he'd lumped them off to me, I would have bought them.
That man is something else, that Morrison. Everybody in Micanopy says he carries water on both shoulders, two-faced. He'll talk to you about me in one way, and then he'll talk to somebody else about me in another way. And then he'll talk to me about me in a different way. I'm reporting what other people said about that. That's not my statement. Three or four people. That's the way he does it.
He had a store.
Yeah, that was a very good store.
I miss that store. And he'd sell you something and then show you how to use it.
Mm-hmm. I never did deal with him that much. And he folded up right shortly after I got down here.
Yeah.
I went by there with you once or twice, and I think right after that he was gone.
Yeah.
So he's been out of there a while.
His legs are getting bad on him. He's got up on that concrete, too. I used to jump, man. Yeah, I'm having to keep him going. You all ought to do this. You jump, man.
Well, Guy, I'm going to have to go explore that man a little bit more. The information I got that really got me back interested in him again was from George Wilson, who found out that he had property in South Carolina and asked him if he wanted to sell it. He said, yeah, I'll sell it. And George Wilson goes up there and looks at it and comes back and says, well, I've got some people that would buy it. What do you take for it? He says, I don't know. What do you give me for it? He says, well, how about $200,000? Well, I'll think about it. And he never did answer him. He never replied to that, to whether he would want to buy it or not. $200,000.
How many acres was it?
I don't really know. It's very valuable property. That's the crazy.
That's the crazy one.
Yeah, he lived. See, he don't. His story is he's got an estate that's being settled from his parents. He's going to get more than $100,000 or $200,000 out of it himself. Now, that's his story. Of course, like I say, if only 15% of what George Wilson tells me is true, he's the most phenomenal man. 15%, that's all I need to accept. And he's phenomenal. I've seen him run a bulldozer, and I know good and well that he can run a bulldozer. So he don't lie altogether. I mean,
he can handle heavy equipment.
He can damn sure handle heavy equipment.
Well, it's not easy.
And do it drunk as a lord. He built this interstate. When he got down here, it was on the interstate. He came down with the interstate, see. And he was handling that, 15-yard bucket? No, it'd be a six or 7-yard bucket. I don't think they had that 15 because they didn't have a way to haul that dirt off. Because they do have a 7-yard dump truck, which is one of these big monster tandem dump trucks. And this bucket was one scoop. It was filled. And he used to run that and keep bottle in his pocket all the time. Stay drunk consistently. Running that machine probably runs at several hundred dollars an hour. So they run it 24 hours a day just to keep it paid for. And it's really amazing. And all this, he told me stories about him walking around with $3,000 or $4,000 cash in his pocket, and his boss man couldn't meet a payroll, so he gives him the money to meet the payroll. That's what he said. So he tells me the story about McQuinney and McQuinney's land. Now, I don't know any other information about it. He also says McQuinney owns a couple hundred acres down some lake country down south of here. But I've seen McQuinney's equipment out there, and I know if he'd saved that money, put it away at a percentage at the bank, that he could just quit right now and have a very dandy life just with the money he's got in equipment alone.
And he still hauls stuff?
Yeah. He and his wife work full-time at Crate Mill, and they collect all of Micanopy's garbage. except ours, I think. Somehow they forget us most of the time. They don't do odd jobs, too, like special hauling for you. And you've seen them work. You've never seen them work?
I've never laid eyes on them.
Oh, that's an experience. Old man McQuinney sits up there and he directs. And he's got the wife and the daughter-in-law heisting those 55-gallon drums. And they're both skinny as rail. They're just like, the wife's blonde. She's probably 30. I don't think she's hit 40 yet. It's hard to tell. She's one of those local people that can be anywhere from 20 to 50 years old. And it's really hard to nail them down. Like a 20-year-old person has had such a life that they look 30 or 35 because they've been worked so hard. And then one 45 has some stamina to them that they look younger than 45. It's a strange world, this redneck type or indigenous people, the commoner of the area. But anyhow, she's blonde-headed and skinny, just as skinny as she can be, and doesn't look like she could lift a toothpick. She grabbed that barrel, throw it up, and they're very they're good engineers about work. I would never collect garbage like they do. I mean, I'd have that system so slicked up by now. You know how to do it easier. They buy a four-wheel drive Dodge truck and with a flat stake body on it, which means it's not set down in between the wheels, and four-wheel drive means that you're off the ground anyhow another foot or 18 inches. So they got the truck that you have to lift your object the furthest of any truck to get it under the truck bed. They got the truck that was the hardest truck in the world to load. And they never need a four-wheel drive truck. I mean, they shouldn't be in places you have to get stuck. And that thing is, we passed it coming down the road. It's a green, about a ton and a half, 2-ton stake body truck. And it's way off the ground.
Yeah, I've seen. Well, you take that old flatbed truck that old Jimmy Means has. It'd be hard for me to sew something up on it.
And that's the mentality that they're using in this kind of thing. And yet, somewhere, they've accumulated all this money. And it's sort of hard to believe they've just done it on salaries and part-time jobs. But I suppose it works like that. If you get three salaries in and you live on a half a salary, you can put two of them in the bank at least. And if you do that for 20 years, you're going to have some money. But I think that the mentality of the people that do that is very strange. I mean, they're always fighting themselves, effort-wise.
Why are they?
Well, just doing things very hard.
So they actually live a pretty austere life.
Oh, yes. Well, the son bought a motorcycle now, Alpha. And he and his wife get on their identical helmets. Zipping through town like lower class playboys, They've got a little bit brighter clothes and a little motorcycle, matching helmets. They've got a beautiful smile on their face when they run around with this motorcycle together. It's one motorcycle and two of them. Alpha. Now, he's the one that came down to Micanopy because he buried his daughter down there. He wanted to live closer to the daughter. Baby, it was 2-3 months old and died. And he works at the state road department all day. He's not quite as interested in the garbage business as his father. He gets him in on it once in a while, but I think he's probably been seeing too many people on motorcycles. I notice he does a lot more playing than the old man does. Old man, I don't think he'd have the least bit of use for riding a motorcycle. Even if he had a young idea, he probably never thought of doing something like that.
He just turned out like that. He was just made like that.
Just stay right behind the plow.
you know, you don't know. You see, yes, say the boy, but he probably don't pay much attention to the boy.
I don't feel like he does. That's just a feeling. And from what little I talked to Alfie, see, I talked to him. He helped me take trash off when I was redoing my building. And they'd leave the truck there at night, and I'd load it up. I mean, they'd leave it during the day while they were at work, and I'd load up that whole state body truck with that plaster and laid. Good God, I moved about 30 tons out of there.
Getting out of dump truck?
No, I have to shovel it off. Very painful, but it's the only way we get it out of there. I'd fill it up, and then they'd take it down and dump it. And I'd pay them so much a load on it. But I fell into a few conversations with him while he was doing that. And I don't have any feelings that his old man rides him or connects him close in any way. You know, the Eblins would try to do their kids. The old man saying, well, you know, I know exactly what I'm doing, and this is the proper way for you to do, and by God, you better get to doing it.
Yeah.
You know, get out or something.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy wants to do something, he can do it, and he'll understand if he doesn't do it, seemingly. I believe that's his attitude.
Yes, that's, I don't know what that is, but that, in a way, that's a right satisfying attitude. You to have. You see, I can't go around listening to people like you as well as you do, because I want to direct them. I can take it so long.
Yeah, you cursed by your credentials.
That's right.
Interesting, the people in Micanopy credentials. Well, that was one of the experiences with Morgerson there, when he started calling you Dr. Miles, and you got hacked off at him. Said you'd rather get called a son of a bitch than a doctor.
Did he say that?
No, you did. And now those people, like the townspeople, well, they love credentials.
Oh, yes.
Everybody does.
Just love them.
It's worth the German.
You got a credential, you're immediately authority on anything you want to talk about.
Well, you want to be an authority or not.
This guy Shimwell across the street is assumed to be a lawyer. I think he flunked out of law school, and he doesn't even have a degree, and he can't pass the board, but he goes around talking about he's going to open a law office.
Yeah.
So, by God, he is the authority in town, even though everybody hates his guts. They don't like him. They'll turn right around and ask him questions. Mr. Shimwell. They'll put him on every bloody committee, you know, to do something.
And he'll sit on it.
Oh, he'd love to, because it's one more chance to disrupt.
Now, he's not the one that talks, never talks to the purpose.
I've seen him do that.
His purpose is antagonism. It's the only thing I can understand.
Yeah.
It's his major purpose. He's telling me he couldn't understand. Go ahead.
He seems to be so conniving with what he says. I heard him one night talking, and he went way around the subject to go back to what he wanted. But he went way around. It was at the town council meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he directed the people. What he did was he talked against what is it called when what you wanted to do?
The planning thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A planning for Micanopy. He talked against it, and he talked to the people sitting in the audience, and he says, you don't want to be directed. You don't want to have this man tell you you can't do this with your land. But what he's doing is he's going to get that land someday, and he's going to be telling the people because he's going to have the authority to do it. But they don't see that. They can't see that far ahead. But I just didn't like him at all that night when I watched him do that. He went way around and he manipulated people.
Yeah, he's totally self-interested.
But we want the right to be able to do what we want with our land. But in 5 years, when I have that land, I'm going to tell you to get off. You know, he just kept that under his breath.
And he has land.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a bit of money. He wants, does he still want to make that a 7-Eleven in that area?
Yeah, he's got renderings on.
You know the Hammaker's house?
No.
Right across from the gallery. Right down.
Right catty corner from my building. Mazu Hammaker. Where she used to live.
Where they had horses?
Mm-hmm. Horses out back. Mm-hmm. It borders on Mac's property, the back part of it.
Well, that's a nice place, isn't it?
That's beautiful, isn't it?
He's going to put a 7-Eleven store there. Nice parking, bright lights.
And see, the planning that he's talking against wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't allow a 7-Eleven to go up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He got a house on it.
Yeah. Didn't he want to move it? He's going to pick
the house
up.
Take
the whole house. Really? Take the whole house up and move it to where it wants. And leave a lot.
It's people worth an immense amount of money.
And he's only about 35.
I don't think he's that old.
No, maybe not.
Oh, really?
That's the most. Dear. He looks like he's just fresh out of law school. He's a skunk. You can smell him.
He hadn't been at large that long?
I don't think so. I think he's been mostly tied with the school system. He's been out fooling around a short while, a few years.
But gee whiz, he's done right well then, hasn't he?
He's losing money. He had more money than he started than he's got now, I think. He married his money. I don't know whether his family had any or not, but none of us earned money.
You can see that
not
in his face. He hasn't worked.
No.
I don't really, just an observation. It doesn't look like he's earned anything.
He's never worked.
But he's not going to lose anything on the Amazon property.
Lord, no. Mm-mm. Well, he's made a lot of money like that. Evidently, he's made a few bad deals. But he's made a hell of a lot of money on swapping property around, mainly because he has cash.
Yeah.
He can go in and buy something for cash at a half the price that the person has to dicker about terms on.
Oh, really?
You know, when people are bailing out in a hurry, they need the cash.
So
they'll give you a big cut on the price if you can give them so much cash for it.
Oh, really?
He gave the Hammaker $6,000. Now, there's not too many people that would come down with $6,000 cash to buy that house.
Yeah.
And see, that left owing $7,000 mortgage. But they were building a house, and they needed the cash to do the house.
Yeah.
And that blasted house is worth a lot more than $13,000.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he said, I don't doubt it, but he turned down $22,000 for it right after he bought it.
And he didn't spend anything.
No, he's not.
It doesn't cost him anything to live.
Not a great deal.
Where is he moving it to, do you know?
Yeah, Marion County. Horse ranch stuff.
And he's still going to own the lot?
Yeah. Moving on 90, beautiful 90 acres over there on the other side of the interstate down in Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
Just a fantastic piece of property.
How far down?
Probably about 3 miles, 4 miles from the exit. Looking up the exit. Almost down, getting close to Irving, Ravine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's there in the neighborhood.
It's beautiful property.
Wonder how you found it, you don't know.
No. I was talking to a realtor. I was doing some work with, and we were talking about different people doing things. Oh, we're talking about, he started talking about driving habits, the realtor, young fellow. And he said, I hope I'm not scaring you, but I've got to hurry on home. And you were coming out from the woods. I drive through about 5 miles of woods. Well, it was a long way to drive down rutted roads. And he was going rather fast. And he was excusing himself. Started talking about driving habits. And he started talking about this fellow that he'd been driving with to go see some property in Marion County. He said, man, I thanked the dear Lord when I got out of his car. I'd never drive that man again. He ain't drove a Mercedes. That's his name, Shemwell. He said, yeah, that's who it was. The guy's insane. Now, when he drives that bloody car wide open down any road he can find. And he's one of these abstract drivers, too. I mean, he's not a racing driver. You know, somebody really knows what they're doing. Total trust, and like my father drove. His trust was in God. I don't know what Shemwell's trust is in. I have no idea. My father would get behind the wheels, you know, turn it right over to God and put his foot in the carburetor. A lot of people, one old preacher said, Donald, would you mind stopping the car? This is 10 miles from his home. Said, okay. He just opened the door and got out and shut the door and left it. And would never ride with him again. Got out
you, know, you know when I quit going to professional meetings? I went to one of these birds. All these brainy people were just crowded. You see, we got up there before breakfast. It was foggy. We were going around 70 miles an hour right there by a railroad track, crossing it. The last one I ever went to.
Wasn't worth death to go to a meeting.
Not even the risk.
Guy, I'm gonna have to get back to those kids. I told that babysitter I'd be back at 5. And time just starts getting better about now.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Wade. Round it off. Now you see, the last track I had of it was Mamie knows about the town meeting. Jane doesn't know about it. You can fill her in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I was at, you all were trying to get them to authorize you to find out how much it would cost to get the information. Now, where do you stand now?
Nothing's going to be done until that council dies, gets off next year. We'll get them off next year. I'm thinking about asking for their resignation next meeting. What is it? They're going to try to put that road back through that we got canceled.
They are?
Yeah. Next Monday, or July 3rd.
Well, what council is it?
It's the same one that was up there. But, see, we've got the meeting declared illegal that they passed that Oklahoma Street paving.
Yeah.
And then they got their attorney back down there, and he wiggled it around so that they re-manipulated legally, so now they can bring it back up again.
Well, who is the old, the chairman of the board resigned.
He resigned, but he's staying on the council.
Oh.
They doesn't have a chairman anymore. Nobody will take the chairmanship.
Well, he resigned as chairman.
He resigned as chairman. He said he was too busy to be chairman, had too many personal problems going on.
Yeah.
So they tried to get Troy. They didn't ask Ed Glover about being chairman. So they didn't figure having a black one would be a good chairman. So they asked Troy Blakely, the other new one, to be chairman, and Troy says, well, no, I've only had 3 months experience and I don't think I should be chairman. So he turned it down. So they asked Hilton Heron said, well, I don't have but 9 months to serve, so I don't think I can be chairman. Of course, three of them had 9 months, and the only people who didn't have 9 months was Ed Glover and Troy Blakely. Then they turned to ask Ward. The Ward, how about you? He says, well, no, I don't have enough education to be a chairman. Ward. The really bony faced one there.
Oh, he wasn't there the night.
No, he was
there.
Gone that night. That's
I've never
right.
seen him either.
Yeah. Oh.
And he said he didn't have enough education to be chairman.
Yeah.
But plenty of education to get business McAnopy done. And old Claire Cruz has now requested that they hire somebody that can take the minutes and type them up. See, she can't write, she can't read too well, she can't type, she can't keep books, but she sure does want to be city clerk.
She's up to hiring someone to do her job for her.
Yeah, she's working part-time as city clerk, but she's got to sublet every job she does because she can't do it. Good Lord. I'll bring you a copy of the minutes over. that she's taken.
They're crazy.
She doesn't know that the word were is in the English language. And if you do speak anything close to straight English up there, when she gets through with it, you sound like Hilton Heron. You know, you talk their language in the minutes. Was this, and they were, he was, she is, and I can't even...
In the most obscure relationships between things that you don't know what's going on.
I forget that. I should bring over just a couple of sheets. Just for you to, you know, 2 pages.
Well, now, let me see now. The boy you work with, the one that talks so much, what's his name? On the, you know, what was it?
Bill? Bill Proctor, the Vista worker?
No, what was it? Pretty Troy.
Oh, Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you work twice smart with him.
Yeah.
He talks to you all.
Oh, he does.
Now, he had the map of the road up there. Was that
mm-hmm.
Troy?
Mm-hmm.
That night. And he was just going to show the route.
That's all he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he couldn't lay the blood out and leave the blood thing. He had to get it out there, too.
He
didn't even need to bring the road map out there. But now we might have to. These people really have a lot of gall to do that after the whole town stood up and said, no, we don't want that. And then the whole town saw who owns the property. And goddamn, if they're not going to stand right there and say, let's pave it. And they have the ability to do it unless somebody can legally find a way to stop it. Just right out there. It's just like robbing a 7-Eleven right there with 3 policemen grinning at you. You know, because maybe you've got their hands tied or something, you just waltz up there and say,
Mr. Morgan doesn't own any property out there.
He's fellowshipping with all these people. He owns enough property in that area that can to make it awful valuable if this other property is developed right.
Well, I didn't know he owned
anything.
Oh, yeah. Where his house is.
That's a good chunk of property over there, several acres.
Is it?
Yeah.
That he got from Ms. Green?
You know, the 7-Eleven is just chopped out of the piece of property that he owns. He owns a larger piece, and much larger than the 7-Eleven owns, that the Deconis bought.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So his is contingent to the Greens or Thrashers, probably Greens. And the paving of the road will help them. They're all, they're good, like his wife and Mrs. Green or something. They're all this big bosom buddy thing. One just really friends with the other, and so. And once you decide to do a friend a favor, you don't want to back off because the town's on your back.
Well, now, Jane, don't you think this is remarkable? This incident. Now, this is what I found out. You see. I thought there for a long time about the experience, using your experience. And I saw that the people like Mr. Eastman, you see, could report on their experience so well. And it was a long time before I realized that the least interesting of all of it is your own experience. What you're interested in is other people's experience as they report it. And what I found is, and I don't know how many people know this, even the writers, you see, that just a common scalawag sort of fella, you see, like your Mr. McQuinney over there, the experiences he's had, once you find a good place to sit down, he can report on that, and it's not just a little. Yeah, I don't know whether he talks consecutively or not, but some of them do. Well, I see Wade doesn't belong to the countryside, and he still talks well. But the countryside talks well. You see, we can't compete with them. They talk, they report so well. It was a part of that, the world they lived in. Well, Taylor, you know, like Mr. Eastman, he reports so well, and he sees all those things so clearly. That's what you want to do. you've got to learn to listen. Well, there's a lot to it besides just listening. You see, you've got to create the keys and, you know, a lot of things. But anyhow, the reporting is so much more interesting than the raw experience. Oh, it took me so long to see that. You think it's right out there in front of me. I did all the time.
That was one of my biggest business failures, Guy. When I first started in it, I used to correspond with all of my clients. Hell, it got so they'd sort of wait for the mail, man. They'd get the letter, you know, because I would give them a report on the job. But hidden in there was business information. Well, that I had to cut that out. We've got to do this. That was done. And here it is. And goodbye. And I used to write a 3-page letter saying 4 words of information that they needed to know and just report on the whole thing, and they got a big kick out of it, especially one organization over in Jacksonville. I probably have a few left, but I had to get out of that. I was just thinking about the non-countryside world. They're in more or less business, and you pick this up, and if you don't learn it, that's that business letter writing thing. If you don't learn it, this cryptic talk, and getting things done, you don't have time to dicker around with what you're doing and get your living going. Time is money, Guy. Time is money. Woo.
Well, now, let me see. Wade, whose car is you coming in?
Mine.
Huh?
We're carless today. Only one car. Couldn't get hers running. That was another mess. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. Go on home. Let me talk to them a little while. Oh, they got to go.
You have to go.
No, right away.
I'll bring
them over. Okay. You gonna bring them back over to McNulty then? All right. I'll see what's happening over there.
All right. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it all right, Mimi?
Mm-hmm.
Is it all right? I'll get the kids for it. She did this all right.
Okay, see you later.
And she hadn't done any of it. And see, Jane can, she can see there's a whole lot of folks together, one all in one direction. But she can do it. She thinks she's sort of simple-minded the way she looks there. But see, she's missing things. And it's just as good as a tape recorder. And you see, people have those faculties. They don't know they have those faculties. I don't have them anymore because I've abused my mind too much. Just consume book after book after book. Finally, really, whatever mind you've got. It'll digest too long. So, what do you think? Now, you see, you're going to knock off 2 or 3 pages just to get your keep hand in.
I tried while I was home, and it was just really hard. I could never get past about half a page, because in my house, they don't say anything. My mother says, well, make a relish plate. That's the extent of the day's conversation. Just say,
yeah.
Which of you wants to stack the dishes? And that's it.
Yeah. Now, what do you see? I think, really, what Mimi ought to do first, she ought to just sink or swim, just face it. Because if you give her some of your reports and some of the other reports that I've got, then she'll just imitate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing about this is, you see, she's got a nice style, prose style, and it's very attractive. But it doesn't disturb anything. It's not just pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, everybody ought to go out on their own.
Do so.
Own. I mean, you know, just flounder a little bit and take a look at it, I think. And then you can look at one or two of the others, just get a little idea, and then do it again. I think that's where I'm at. You see, Wade's full of this.
Oh, I know it.
Now, I don't know. You see, you see how I talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? You see,
sometimes I can. I feel I can.
Well, you see, you don't just get in for information. You just get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to do. But now, I used to think a person had to be sooty before they had any sense at all. And before I could get the words out, I see this little girl who's 20, came back from England. She spent a year over there with horses, Barbara. And she reported like an angel. Just such as the countryside couldn't do.
Hmm.
She had all their gifts. And the vocabulary too. And the skill too. And she wouldn't write because she was hard-headed. But she could certainly talk. So you see, it's the easier than the good. And you see, Suzanne and Rick and Alan and those people, they go off and talk to people, and I know what you might call the people in my world out here. And you see, they don't get what I get, but they get something totally different. That's in a way, much more interesting.
That's like reading a poem, maybe. It's always amazed me how a person will read a poem and they'll get completely different ideas of what it is than the next person. And something I've always disliked is somebody to tell me what a poem means, like in school and whatnot. I don't think that can be done, except by maybe by the poet. That's the only person.
Did you, the writing, now this is one thing I found out, and I didn't know it myself. I mean, I worked it out along with, you know, all of us together, is what I call rough writing. Rough. You write rough. And you see, you can write off from this, you see. Now, I don't know how your mind works. I can't just pick it up right away. I have to go ahead about my business, get sort of. Day after supper, I'll knock it off on a typewriter. Well, it's spotty with me. First time, it's spotty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the connections, and there's a whole lot I don't get. But, you see, I don't force it. I don't push. I just put on what comes to me. And generally, it's readable. Even the first draft is readable. But, see, I go ahead. And I can write half a dozen pages. I can write 1,002 words, no trouble at all. Because, you see, I don't think. I don't organize, you see. Bell-like touch, you see. Once you make a statement that the man's crazy, that ties you down. You want to make just as little statement as you can. This fellow, Quinney, I see he's interested with the way you're telling it, isn't he? Isn't that nice? But you see, part of it he doesn't get from McQuinney, he gets from somebody else reporting, from George Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets George Wilson reporting on himself. And so you see, the sources are interesting too, even on your spoken. Now this can carry over to Faulkner, but you don't want to push things. And how much Faulkner saw of this, I don't know. I can't see the Faulkner, but we can see some of those things maybe you see that he didn't see. But a lot of it did see. And the piece I work on in Faulkner is I guess any of them do. But the one I took up was called Ratliff City.
Mm-hmm.
You just leave it in your mind a little while, and you come out, and you've got. And if you see him, well, you'd want to see him and talk to him. I don't mean you want to hide. You want to know as much as you can about what he's doing, about the garbage and all. Truck. You see, Wade's already lined it out for you, and you got something to go on. And it's, you see, I never knew that. I got some things upstairs that I wrote home. I wrote home in World War II. Well, anyway, I was there and I wrote about everything that went on. And, you see, I knew I couldn't get into it. I didn't know what it was. But I can look at the letters now. I can see that my mind was really tight. And these things that I found out now, you see, I didn't know then. And it wasn't that I'm smarter now. It was just that I somehow or other. Well, I can account for it, you see. I was Europeanized, you see. So much of the education is Europeanized, what I call it. See, people aren't actually in contact with other people. But if they are, they're suburban, and people hide their hired and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to talk to people who are public. Whatever they say or do is public, private. This year, you see, I've been trying to surface and make a place for some of the things that I've learned. It's a miserable sort of world. It's miserable. That's what I have. But it's pain. You see, I go on with separate mind. He's not in touch with his best ones. And he did the best he could. But this Eastman's free. Buster is the best is free, but he's crowded now. You see, they're crowding him. He's going to talk about Mr. Weaver. He's one of them, both of them.